Welcome to Catch the Fire Auckland. We hope this message is a blessing to you. You can find us at ctfauckland.com.
Hello. Good to see you guys. Good to see you. Oh, am I echoing? Am I all right? I'll let you guys do that. Oh, no, I'm not going to preach that one. Let's go for a different one. Sending love from my hubby, Shannon. He's not with us today, as you may have noticed. He's in Taupo. Well, actually, he'll be on his way home from Taupo. He did the Ironman at the weekend. I know. Well, the cycling bit. So he had a team. It's still impressive, but it's... Yes, it is. It's very impressive. Oh, I'll tell him you clapped. He'll be well chuffed with that. So he does a couple of days a week with us here at Catch the Fire, and then 3 days a week in a company in the city doing project management in the building world. And they were sending a few teams from their company. So he had someone else did the running, someone else did the swimming, and he did the cycling. So it was 90 kilometers. I know. And he did it in just under 3.5 hours on a mountain bike. I know. So he's really chuffed. He was hoping to get under 4 hours, and he smashed that. So even with a headwind, apparently, I had to hear all about the headwind on the way back because it was terrible. But so kudos to Shannon. He's there, but he sends his love, and I'm looking forward to seeing him after this. He'll probably be getting back just after this. So February, we've been focusing on the message of the Father, haven't we? Anyone who's been here, by the way, all of those messages are actually up online. If you've missed any. They've been really, really good, really deep. Been hearing all about his loving leadership, his perfect love, his heart towards us, his goodness. All the really, really good and very truthful, fundamental, foundational stuff about the Father's heart. Yeah. How are we doing with that? Has it been good?
Yeah.
Yeah? Had some revelation? Had some moments? My experience of anything to do with the Father heart stuff is every time I get some sort of encounter with the Father or some level of healing around the Father's heart and love, I sort of feel like, oh, that must be it. You know, that surely we've got there. And then sure enough, there's another layer to go to. And I'm not being hard on myself. That's nothing about me being awful or terrible. Don't hear that. It's actually about just how good God is. There's just no limit to his love and to us being able to receive his love. It never ends. Never, ever, ever ends. And I've had some beautiful encounters with the Father, and I know that I will have more. And that's a great place to sit, isn't it? It's an amazing journey. And, I've had some healing. I want you to... You know, just here, like over the month of February, God's been really digging around in my heart in this area of just his love towards me, particularly in the area of leadership, as I'm sure doesn't come as much of a surprise. But I've learned three things over my healing journey of the last sort of 15 years. One is when you get given any sort of role or responsibility, and I'm talking inside and outside the church, so I'm not just talking ministry here, but any level of responsibility or authority over others, you're in that role as a Christian to make an impact for the kingdom. Great. One, God loves to partner with us. Two, you're in there so that the issues of your heart can get shaken up because of the weight and the feeling out the responsibility and the role that you have. That stuff bubbles right up to the surface. And then you have an opportunity with God to deal with it or not. That's your choice. And three, it's actually all about relationship. So the impact, you know, the kingdom advance, all of that stuff, the dealing with your issues, all of that is actually about relationship with God, because it sends us, or it should and it can, send us to him, send us into his heart, and we get deeper intimacy, deeper relationship, which is awesome. But I did hear this incredible quote from Graham Cook recently. Anyone know Graham Cook? He's a pretty awesome guy. I mean, I have slightly reworded it to make it better, but... But it was a very good quote to begin with. I was sitting in this father heart stuff, so I added a little bit. And he says this, when God looks at you, he doesn't get angry about what's wrong with you, but in his love, he sees what is missing from your experience of him. And he offers to heal it. Isn't that such a beautiful perspective? Because we get out the big stick, don't we? We're our own worst critics, and we're like bashing ourselves with this big stick and often even cursing ourselves with how stupid we are and how terrible we've behaved, and right, you know, on it goes. Actually, our reactions, our responses, our behavior, the stuff that we don't actually like, the stuff that brings shame, not from God, from the enemy, that stuff, it springs out of pain and it springs out of lack. And actually the Father or God's perspective on that pain and on that lack is, no, you're just not fully understanding some truth about who you are and who I am to you. That's where that stuff comes from, and he offers to heal it. So we've been in that amazing place for February, and today I want to carry on because there's just so much to talk about within the Father Heart message, but I want to talk today about the orphan spirit. It's a biggie. It is a biggie. There's been lots of prayer over this morning. I want you guys to know that. There's been a lot of prayer that's got into this morning because we are going for this. We're kicking this thing out of our lives. All right. Amen. Thank you, David. And it's very unlikely today that you're going to get away without a little bit of an ouchie. All right. Because the thing about the orphan spirit is it's actually a bit of a leveler. We all experience this. There's no one in the room. Well, actually, you're our ministry team if you're in the room and you've never experienced any of the orphan spirit attacking or derailing your life. You can, if you're Jesus, you're on the team today. Because that's Jesus, right? The rest of us, we deal with this. We deal with it in different areas, different ways. And if you're willing today, Holy Spirit can do a really deep work. And he's not going to pressure you, and he's not going to force you, and he's not going to do anything that you don't want. But if you say yes, if you choose to let him in this morning, he's going to do an incredibly deep work in your heart. And we're going to kick orphan thoughts, mentalities, and behaviors out of our lives. All right. You up for that? It's gone quiet. It's good. It's good. All right. So we all know what an orphan is. Someone without a mother and a father. Okay. Someone who has not benefited from or received that sort of all-encompassing love, protection, the security that brings, the guidance, just all of that good stuff. In the practical, in the physical, that's what an orphan is. A spiritual orphan is someone who's living outside of the constant, continual, perfect flow of God's love. All right? So if in any area of your life, you can recognize that actually I am not experiencing just the fullness of that flow, because we know from Scripture that flow of God's love is constant. It never, ever, ever stops. It's one of the most simple truths that we have in this world. But yet how insidious is the orphan spirit, that it's so deceptively sort of twisted. I mean, it's the simplest truth, isn't it? God's love flows constantly to you. But yet we have a lot of other stuff that's got in there, and we're going to look into that. So yes, a definition of a spiritual orphan, and this can, you know, we all recognize that at times we live outside of that perfect love, the Father's presence, and just outside of really sitting in the truth that we belong and that we're loved. The orphan spirit impairs, it limits, it contains, it wants to keep us small. And it's so unsettling. The orphan spirit makes us feel very insecure, very unsettled, like we don't belong, like we're not loved. And we really don't need to look very hard or far in our world to see that this has happened. Down through the generations, just pain coming down through the generations of fatherlessness and what it's done to our society. And although that is a huge topic, it's not actually really what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about more as Christians, as children of God. We can declare it because it's so perfectly true. As Christians, we actually have the opportunity to look at where the spirit of orphan has started to attack or possibly even derail our lives. And that's what we're going to do today. And then, and interestingly, I don't know if anyone follows Emma Stark, but just last week she released a word, a prophetic word about the orphan spirit, going one step further from this isn't just for us people. We've sort of sat in this revelation of the Father's heart for quite a few years now, and thank you God for the revelation. But her prophetic utterance and actually challenge was, we now need to move out of it's all for me and start declaring with spiritual warfare that God loves you to everyone. Like that's spiritual warfare right there, talking to someone and just telling them, looking them in the eye and saying, God loves you. And the anointing of Holy Spirit coming with that truth and setting people free. This is big stuff. So we want today, it is going to be about you, okay? But we also want to take this out and go to war for people. Tell them the truth. In John 14, 18, Jesus says these incredible words. He's preparing his disciples for him going to the cross. He's preparing them for him going away, Holy Spirit coming. He's trying to get them on the page with that. They're having a bit of a hard time. You know, they have that hilarious conversation where Jesus is going, I'm going, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas is like, we have no idea where you're going. How the monkey will we know the way? And Jesus is like, I am the way to the Father. And then Philip pipes up and he's going, brilliant. You show us the Father. We're going to be really happy. And Jesus is like, how long have I been with you, Philip? Don't you yet know? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Incredible conversation. He's getting the guys ready. Okay, and he says these words in the midst of that. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's where we're landing today. That's the core of what we're going to be talking about. Because also in John, actually in chapter 12, Jesus says these words. He says, I don't speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So what we know is that right in these words, Jesus is saying that the Father is saying, I will not leave you as orphans. The Father, his heart, his love, he's not going to leave us fatherless. He's never going to leave us comfortless. Jesus came to reveal the Father, yes. He came to be the way and to show us the way. But more than that, we have to believe that he also came to model as a human man, fully human and yet fully God, but in his humanity, he models what a relationship with the Father can truly, truly look like. And again, I know what those words sound like because I've wrestled with them. Honestly, you should have, this week of mine in this stuff, this is intense. And it is your turn today. But this stuff is, it's so simple. And yet so incredibly easy to just not fully believe. That's the orphan spirit right there. Imagine living from a place of unquestioning, unconditional assurance that you are so fully and completely and totally and ferociously and wildly loved by the Father. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that would do for your day? Can you imagine what that would do for your dreams? Can you imagine what that would do for your motivations? Can you imagine what that would do for your body, your actual physical body, when we sit in the fundamental truth that we are completely, perfectly loved by the Father? It changes everything. There are many, many scriptures that talk about the Father's love. Please dig into them, many, many of them. I'm going to talk about 1 Corinthians 13 for just a minute, because what does 1 Corinthians 13 says? And I'm going to, this has confronted me big time this week. If you don't have love, what are you? Just before that, clanging cymbal and a something else. Basically, a really annoying noise. Yep. And then it does go on to talk about if you've got the faith that can move a mountain. Now, I would be mightily impressed by anyone in this room who could speak to a mountain and say, right, just up a little bit, yep, over, left a bit, yep, down again. Right? Oh, woman of great faith, wouldn't we? But you're right, Valda. It says, if you do that with all the faith that takes, but you don't sit in that underpinning foundational love, you are nothing. This is huge. It's a sobering thought. We can be born again. We can be filled with the Spirit. We can operate in the anointing. And we can still have orphan in our heart. And I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it for me. I don't want it for us. I don't want it because I know everything that God's calling us to. And this stuff is a distraction. Sarah Edwards, who's the wife of Jonathan Edwards, who was a mover and shaker in the Great Awakening, one of the leaders, the revivalists back then. It's probably almost 200 years ago now. His wife, Sarah, she would get really undone when the Holy Spirit was moving. She was, you know, she'd be the puddle. She'd be the one shaking and baking and doing all the stuff. And Jonathan has written some stuff about her experiences with Holy Spirit. It's quite amazing. Apparently, even if someone blessed the food at the dinner table, she's gone, you know, face down in the mashed potatoes type thing. And people would say to her, you're a respectable woman, Mrs. Edwards. You know, what is going on with you? You're a pastor's wife. And apparently she said these amazing words. I am overwhelmed by his nearness to me and my dearness to him. Isn't that beautiful? So in the midst of the mighty move of Holy Spirit and everything that's going on, she gets love. She feels dear to the Creator. This is our reality. This is for us. Even Jesus was launched into his ministry from a place of underpinning, foundational, secure love. This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. Or as John Arnott says, this is my Son whom I love, who I also really like. Well pleased with us. He's well pleased with us. The orphan spirit will try to tell you otherwise, but the truth is, he is well pleased with us. He loves us. So I want to take authority over the orphan spirit in the room today, and I bind it in the mighty name of Jesus, and it's getting kicked out. So if it's starting to chatter to you, it's because it knows it's going. So we silence it right now so you can receive from Holy Spirit and kick it out. So where did it come from? This annoying, insidious spirit, where did it come from? Well, unsurprisingly, it came from Satan. And we read both in Isaiah and in Ezekiel these incredible scriptures that talk about kings at the time. They're prophecies over kings. One in Isaiah, it's the king of Judah. In Ezekiel, it's the king of Tyre. I never know what way to say it. Tyre. Evil king of Tyre. And Ezekiel and Isaiah, they're speaking against these kings. But actually what they're doing in the mystery of the word of God sometimes, they're actually layering some truth and some hyperlinks back to what went down when Satan was cast out of heaven. And of course, we don't know exactly, well, maybe some of you do, I don't personally know exactly when that happened, when Satan was cast out of heaven. But what I do know is that it happened before Adam and Eve were created, because he was in the garden. So he got cast down to earth. He's still on the earth today. He has not been cast to hell yet, because Jesus hasn't come back. So he roams the earth trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And they basically tell the tale of this very, very important angelic being. And I think sometimes, you know, culture and whatever has actually made Satan into this, you know, ugly, nasty sort of being, you know, for whatever purposes. But actually, what we read is he was incredibly beautiful, very wise, full of splendor even, and a very important angelic being. And think about this. Here's my train of thought. Heaven, what must heaven be like? Heaven must be so incredibly saturated with the love of God. And that can sound like a small thing to say, but just imagine your being in that place of perfection, love that we can't even wrap our heads around. James Jordan, who's the Father Heart guy, says every breath must be an experience of the Father's love. Isn't that amazing? Every breath just being filled again, wave after wave of perfect love. So put those two things together. Satan was there and he was important. He was fathered. He was known. He belonged. He didn't want it. We read in that Ezekiel passage, those five I wills that Satan said, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He would have experienced perfection and he rejected it. He didn't want to be fathered. He became the ultimate orphan spirit. And he started to glorify in the ways of the orphan and all the behaviors and values that make it up. He wanted the top spot. And he actually became a counterfeit version of it. Jesus calls him the father of lies. He is the first and the supreme orphan spirit. And in his interaction then with Adam and Eve, we see him start to propagate this lie, the lie of the orphan. And he does it with four words. Did God really say? And in there, he questions the perfect love of the Father. The unconditional love, the limitless love, the love that has no end. And he basically asks Adam and Eve, do you really think God's generosity is going to be enough? And it's at this point we have to get honest with ourselves. These are not questions that only Satan has asked. We all have these thoughts. We all have these feelings where the orphan spirit can operate. And so when Adam and Eve sinned and then they were driven out of the garden, the orphan spirit just ran riot. And it really quickly, after that, we see what happened to Cain and Abel. Well, basically, yeah, what happened to both of them, mostly Abel. So we read in Genesis 1 that Adam and Eve were made in God's image. By the time we get to Genesis 5 and the orphan spirit has been activated, we read that when they had their children, it says so clearly, they were made in their likeness. So no longer in the likeness of a son, the spirit of sonship, but actually in the image of separation, in the image of the orphan, in the image of fatherlessness. And Cain and Abel, they do this incredible thing. They want to bring an offering to the Lord, both of them, their brothers. Cain is a farmer. He works the land. Abel is a shepherd, so he's with the animals. Cain brings an offering from the ground, the fruits of the ground. It's a good offering. But Abel brings an offering that has more honor, we read. And God has regard for it. And this guy knows his Leviticus. He knows what a sacrifice should be. He brings the firstborn of his flock, and he also brings the fat portions. Big thumbs up. God loves this offering. And so what happens is Cain sees the regard, the focus, the attention that Abel is receiving, and he gets angry. His face is hot with anger, and his face falls. And you can just imagine what's rising out of his soul at the time. What about me? What about my offering? What about everything I've done? And God says, the Father says these incredible words to him. In verse 7, he says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? He's essentially saying, you're assuming that there's not enough to go around. That's the orphan lie. You're assuming that if I show favor and give regard to the older brother, that the younger brother, that there's nothing left for you. And how often do we feel that and think that and maybe even say it? We question if God's generosity is exclusive. That's the lie of the orphan. The truth is, there's perfect love for everyone, constantly, continually, a flow of it. Because God said, I won't leave you as an orphan, I will come to you. We don't even have to come to him. He says, I'm going to come to you with my perfect love. So what does that say? It says all we have to do is receive. And not be like Satan, who resisted and actually didn't want to be fathered. And Cain says nothing in response to God's questioning, and the story moves on, and he murders his brother. It's the extreme human story of what the orphan spirit will do. When we're not fully trusting God, not believing that we're going to get what we need or what we deserve, we can plot and take it for ourselves, even at the expense of others. But you know the beautiful thing? Incredibly, God forgives Cain. Because he is love. He is Father. He is perfect. And he forgives Cain, and he even puts a seal of protection on his life that if anyone else tries to kill him, it's not going to happen. Even in extreme failure, God will come to you and me. Amen, amen. And then even in the New Testament, we read of the two brothers with the father, the prodigal son. It's called the prodigal son, but I want to suggest to you that actually both brothers are operating with the orphan spirit. In there, the older brother has an inward expression of the orphan spirit. He was in his father's house physically, but not in his heart. So as soon as favor came to the younger, as soon as there was attention, a robe, a ring, a fatted calf, just the jealousy sprang up. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it at all. The younger brother, that's a really clear outward expression of the orphan spirit. I want out of here. I don't want to be fathered. Basically, I'd quite like it if you were dead. Just give me your inheritance. Give me my inheritance. And again, the father is accepting and embracing of both sons. He restores the younger back into the family with the position of son. And he says, he actually uses the word son to the older brother. Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. And so I just want us to take a moment. Neve, could you pop up the slides? The first one. Here's some stuff, and just Holy Spirit, we just ask, if you're in agreement today and you want some of this stuff gone, just invite Holy Spirit to nudge you if any of these start to feel real to you. So the image of God, with the orphan spirit, you can see God as master. You either obey or be punished, and you need to earn favor by good behavior, but as a son, you know God as your loving father. Your dependency can be very self-reliant, independent. As a son, you know you need God and others. Your need for approval, this is a big one that I've dealt with over the years. You can strive for praise, approval, acceptance of man. I love the old hymn that talks about man's empty praise. It's just, there's no substance to it, not like the affirmation you get from the Father, knowing your value to God. Your source of comfort, this can be an icky one. You can find comfort in counterfeit pleasures, so in addiction, escapism, even hyper-religion and busyness. I'm sure we've all done at least one of those. Or, as a son, we can come and seek times of rest and solitude in the Father's presence and get our comfort from the Comforter. Your motive for service, do you want to just impress God or other people? Or maybe you've got no motivation to serve anyone at all. As a son, we can be deeply motivated with gratitude. The fact that we're unconditionally loved and accepted by God. And we fully know and believe that it is better to give than receive. What about peer relationships? Is there rivalry, jealousy towards others' success and position? again, I have kicked jealousy out of my life, and I am so grateful for that it was exposed in me. It's a nasty, nasty spirit. As a son, we can have humility, we can be in unity, we can bless others and celebrate others. The next slide, please, Neve. Our view of authority as an orphan, we'll see authority or leadership as a source of pain or control, and we can lack a heart attitude of submission. As a son, you understand there's healthy boundaries in relationships, but you're respectful and honoring of leadership. Correction, do you have difficulty receiving correction or advice? You actually must be right. Are your feelings easily hurt? And your heart might be closed to discipline from God or others. As a son, you see the blessing of and the need for wise counsel and admonition. And you actually want your weaknesses and your blind spots to be exposed so that you can grow. You see what those tests do when you get through them. And you really value your journey to maturity. Is God's presence conditional and distant? Or is he close and intimate? Do you feel insecure in the world? In life, do you lack peace? That's a sign of an orphan spirit at work. Because actually, we can live in that perfect place of rest and peace, knowing the Father's love. What about your vision? Do you have spiritual ambition? The earnest desire to strive for spiritual achievement. I have to put my hand up to that one as well. I've had lots of healing on that. Do you want the distinction and just to be seen amongst the spiritually mature? Or, as a son, we can daily come to the Father, experience his love, experience his acceptance. And actually that means that God can then send you as a representative of his love and his family to others. Do you fight for what you can get? Or have you come into the revelation that sonship releases your inheritance? It's the key, just unlocks everything for your future, for your destiny. I want to pray for us. And we're going to get the ministry team just to be walking around in a little bit. I'll give you the nod to lay hands on you as well. But this is a good opportunity to be real with God about some of this stuff. Just where you're starting to see it in operation. Today can be the day. Enough is enough. We're going to kick this spirit out. And in his kindness, he'll probably show you one thing today. And that is an amazing start, and freedom comes. So do you want to stand and close your eyes? Just while you're getting ready, I'll tell you a very quick story. It's another James Jordan, so Father Hart, the guy from is the Father Hart guy. He tells the story of seeing a friend of his push his two sons on a swing, and they are having an amazing time. They're squealing with delight. They're getting higher, higher, you know, higher, Daddy, higher, having an amazing time. And he can see, James can see from his where he's sitting, his perspective, that there's another young boy on the swings beside the two sons, and he doesn't have anyone pushing him. And he's watching these two boys beside him get higher and higher and higher. And he's trying. He's really trying. He's doing the leg thing. He's trying to get himself swinging. But actually, James watches as at one point he just gives up. And he stops the legs, and very slowly but surely the swing comes to a stop. And at that point, the dad in the story sees this little boy. And James says, I can see him. I can see the dad go over to this little boy. And he's not close enough to hear what he says, but he's pretty sure he knows what he said. Would you like me to swing you too? But the little boy's face fell and he said nothing. You see, what the orphan spirit does is it gets us to build a value system in our lives where we actually start to resist the very thing that we want, the very thing that we need. We just try to make the best of the situation that we find ourselves in. And we can actually stop saying yes. We can stop and hinder that flow of what God wants to bring us. And it can then become really hard to actually accept what's on offer. Orphanness is that life that you create when you don't have what you really deeply need. And it can go even further. Sometimes then you can go into even ridicule of the people who do have it. And you can convince yourself that actually it's better not to. It's better to be the person who doesn't have it than the person who does. This is the insidious lie of the orphan. And in that beautiful story, the father, even though that little boy couldn't even bring himself to say, yes, please, he starts to push him. And he has a great time. But it just so well highlights what we can do as children of God, when that constant flow of love is coming our way because of our experiences, because of the pain, the lack, we can resist. Let today be a day where you let those guards down. Like I said, every one of us in this room have somewhere that the Spirit's been in operation. The Father wants to come to you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to love you. And He does all of this through the work of Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We thank you for the amazing work you're doing in our hearts. We give you access. Holy Spirit, would you move in the room? Would you come to hearts? I just see him holding hearts in his hand, just bringing comfort. Comfort from trauma. Comfort from experiences that have influenced you to believe the orphan lie. That lie of the enemy that says, God's got it all, but you know what? He doesn't want to give it to you. If you have that lie operating in your life, I expose it in Jesus' name. I want you to cancel your agreement with that lie today. God has enough. No end of love, no end of blessing. Romans 8 says you didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption, and by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Just let your spirit utter those words this morning, Abba, Father. And in that you're saying, I am loved, I belong. And I want you as well, if anyone's face has come into your mind this morning, anyone who has caused you pain, caused you trauma, anyone who's been part of the influence in your life where you've started to agree with any of these lies, would you forgive them today? They were more than likely operating out of their own orphan spirit. This is how it works. But you can stop it in your life. You can stop it for your family. You can stop it going down the generational line today. We stand today on the beautiful, simple truth that the love of the Father underpins our whole existence, your whole life. So just let those people go. Forgive them. Do you know what? You can even bless them. How powerful is that? Bless them and release them, and freedom comes to you. Haha, what a great equation. Let them go, let them go. And I want you to say this with me. Father, thank you that I am your son, or I am your daughter. We're going to declare this truth together. Okay? Have you said it? Heavenly Father, I repent for my orphan ways. I'm sorry I have not always trusted in your perfect love and your generous heart. And I receive your forgiveness. And just breathe in. Just let his forgiveness flow over you. Thank you, Lord. Let's keep going. I believe that you are my Father. And you have come to me to love me out of my orphanness and into my rightful place in your heart. I believe you are loving me every second, every minute, every hour of my life, and you will never stop. You have started a good work in me, and you will complete it. All right, we're going to kick this thing out. So I speak to the orphan spirit in this room, and I command you to leave me now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Orphan spirit, go. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's really kick it out. Orphan spirit, go. In Jesus' name. Get out. You're not welcome. I don't agree with you anymore. I am breaking up the partnership. And I speak to every associated spirit to go. We cancel agreement we ever made with striving or competition, unhealthy competition, insecurities, anxiety. Okay, so let's kick these out. Spirit of striving, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of insecurity, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of anxiety, I am a child of God. There's no need for me to be anxious in this world. I know my place. So spirit of anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, go in Jesus' name. Jealousy, go in Jesus' name. There's enough for all of us. There's enough for everyone. Isolation, go in Jesus' name. I'm part of a family. Religion, get out. In Jesus' name, you go. Pride, go. Anything else that Holy Spirit's revealing to you, just kick it out.
Yeah, I just speak to anyone in the room who just feels like somehow you're too sinful. There's too much shame to be able to come into this. And I just feel the Lord saying that even when the prodigal son, he was with the pigs, he was away from the father, but the father was still on the porch. He was still loving him. He was ready to run to you. While we're still sinners, he died for us. So you can come into that place. He is running to you. He is running to you right now.
Okay, we're going to fill you up with Holy Spirit. We know that when we've cleared stuff out of our lives, cleared stuff out of our heart, the wise thing to do is to invite Holy Spirit to come and take up residence. So Holy Spirit, we ask, and actually ministry team, just receive, and then could you pray for others as well? Just lay hands as they receive, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you fill every heart, fill every body. Come with your love. Ooh, come in power, Holy Spirit. Every area that's been newly cleared out today, would you come and fill, pour in. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Keep moving, keep receiving. Ooh, he's gonna start to speak to you. You're gonna start to hear things about how much you are loved that you're hardly going to be able to believe. But can I encourage you? Believe it. This is the ultimate too good to be true truth that is actually true. And we are going to be a people who live from this truth. What a powerful people that will be. Our motivations aligned with the love of the Father. Come, Holy Spirit, move. Keep breathing him in. There's more. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are loved. You belong. You have a vital place in his family. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Going to be absolutely no rush, guys. If you want hands laid on, we can agree with you for this. Feel free to come and take up a spot on the floor or come and stand for prayer. Stay in your seat. Holy Spirit's doing a mighty work. We want to take time to receive. But equally, if you need to go for any other reason, then feel free. Grab a cuppa. I bless you into more and more and more and more and more of his love. Revelation of his fathering of you. Amen.